There was a pātai that went out that said, could your native language affect how you process music? And naturally, my brain went, ah, tino hikakano ki te kōrero ki, ki e nei tangata mō tēnei kaupapa. And so we got Dr. Courtney Hilton on the line with us, and he co-led the project with Dr. Samuel Mair. And the research was conducted via Music Lab, a University of Auckland and Yale collaboration, investigating how human minds create, how human mind create and perceive music. I love that, kaupapa. So we've got him on the line with us at the moment. Tēnā koe, how are you going, Courtney?
Kia ora, good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, you know, I tend to associate music with Fridays, and so even if this is a bit of a researchy aspect to it, it's still a great thing to have on a Friday. So I really appreciate you coming on. Can you talk to us a little bit more about this project?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so this research project was about how the language you grow up speaking can actually shape how you hear musical melodies and rhythms, such that in some languages you're better at noticing the pitch patterns in melodies, and in other languages you're better at noticing the rhythmic timing patterns in a beat, basically.
Love that. And from that project and from the study, what did you find?
Yeah, well, so there are a particular kind of class of languages called tonal languages, and there are many tonal languages around the world, including in Asia, where Mandarin Chinese, Cantonese, Vietnamese, Thai, and languages throughout parts of Africa, including Yoruba and Igbo. And so these languages are different from languages like English or Te Reo Māori in that, like, pitch patterns accompany some syllables and actually distinguish one word from another. So that is, you know, in non-tonal languages, we use pitch, like, you know, raising the pitch of our voice to inflect emotion or other sorts of, you know, general meaning, but we never use it to distinguish one word from another. In tonal languages, you do that. And basically, in tonal languages, we found people that natively speak these languages were better able to hear the pitch patterns and melodies, but again, were worse at perceiving a beat, like the rhythmic timing.
At the moment, you almost lost me till you got to the last part. And I went, I've seen that with my own eyes, I think, where some people.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to act like I know what you're talking about, but but I feel like I've seen that, seen examples of what that looks like. And so from that, I mean, how many languages did you study from?
Yeah, so this was actually one of the unique things about our study. So we're not the first people to, like, look at this kind of question, but other previous studies of this have mainly just looked at, for example, like Mandarin and Cantonese speakers from China to, like, you know, English speakers from the United States. What was special about our study was that we just blew this up at a big sort of global scale, and we studied 500,000 people from basically every country around the world, including native speakers of 54 different languages. So looking at this at a far larger scale to really test whether this is something truly to do with the type of language you speak, or whether it was just something to do with, you know, Mandarin, Chinese or English.
That's really interesting. And where is the Māori language in this study?
Māori is a non-tonal language, I believe. So, you know, this falls into the category of languages that, like, you know, were better at perceiving a beat than speakers of tonal languages.
Interesting. I find that really interesting. Yeah. And just I was just thinking, a lot of people might disagree with that, especially if you go to a garage party, we'd be like, hey, can't be true. We're good at all of the above. But of course, if you've got a few drinks in you, that might be what we might think. But I was just thinking about, just to clarify for me, because, you know, Māori language, some say, is one of the younger languages, some might say. But I was just wondering, you know, when you're talking about Mandarin and some of those other languages, a lot of them are quite, they're older languages. Excuse my way of explaining this, but I was just wondering if that makes a difference in terms of how people perceive music and how people can catch a beat, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, actually, but I'm afraid I don't really have a good answer for it. I mean, there's definitely been a lot of great study about how languages have evolved over time and how some are older and some are newer. And actually, there's a number of, you know, leading researchers that look at those kinds of things here at Auckland University. But yeah, I couldn't tell you how that affects music just yet.
It's all right. I might do my own study, or I'll just make up my own study.
Yeah, please do.
No, I definitely couldn't. I'll wait for some other expert to get onto that. But what other things did you find in the study that were interesting, or the project itself?
Yeah, well, so I guess like one really important thing about our study and about like kind of how large it was and how we got lots of different languages is that, you know, in social sciences and like psychology and other disciplines, for a long time, people haven't really studied humans in general, but really only studied a narrow fraction of human diversity. So, you know, in particular, most people in research studies have been, you know, undergraduate students from, you know, universities at the United States and who speak English. And this is only really like a narrow fraction of like people in general. So this has kind of led a number of different researchers down to believe maybe some things which actually aren't true of humans in general. So there's been a big push in recent years to kind of study humans a bit more diversely. And so this is where the kind of approach we took in our study of studying people over the internet using what we call web-based citizen science, this enables us to, like, you know, reach out to far more diverse people around the world and, get a better sense of how people in general do things rather than just this really narrow, you know, fraction of people.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was going to ask, so what comes out of this this project or this study? Because naturally that's a great question to know what happens. And so who else can kind of get... No, actually, you answered a lot of my questions because, I was wondering what happens to this information and how does it help people in general. But I was wondering in terms of, I don't know if you can answer this, but I was wondering how the study might help with, Māori schools or Māori to help them even in classrooms and stuff like that. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, well, so... definitely, like, I mean, if we start off with just the basic one very narrow spot of, like, you know, how do people get good at music? Even though our study shows that language can affect people's musical abilities, still the best way to get better at music is, you know, getting some music lessons or playing some music with some mates and, like, you know, listening to music intently and this sort of thing. You know, it's not like we are recommending that, you know, if someone wants their baby to be really good at melodies, we're not saying teach them Mandarin Chinese or something.
I was just going to say, is that what we have to do? It kind of sounds like a good idea to learn a different language, but yeah.
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, so it's a great idea to learn different languages, but I guess not your top reason shouldn't be to get better at music. I think languages have all sorts of benefits that they can give us by learning them. And I think music as well. So, like, there's also a lot of research showing that engaging kids in music lessons, and well, not even just music lessons, but in like kind of musical activities together, can really help build community and kind of be beneficial in a whole variety of ways in schooling context. So, I think, you know, more schools, including Maori schools and others, like, you know, we've got to not forget about how great music is when we're trying to, you know, get everyone to learn everything else they've got to learn.
Hey, awesome to have you on, Dr. Courtney. Hopefully we can have a quarter with you a little bit later on. I might test out which one I am and which side of my native language I fall on. But it's really awesome to have a quarter with you about this particular kaupapa. Have an awesome afternoon.
Yeah, thanks. I had a great time chatting.
Awesome. Ka kite.